Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Good Friday. Getaway Friday, March the 29th, last Friday in the month of March, 2024, 13 minutes past the hour. Matt Morgan joins me live in studio. We thank Jason Schauber, 3rd Ward City Councilman, for coming on this morning. A lot to unpack there, Matt, but you were at the City Council meeting on Monday. You heard the auditor interview on Tuesday, and you sat here for that interview today. What do you make of all the things going on in Marion City? And by the way, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Should also mention Jessica Hauser is on spring break with her son. She will not be here today, but we're going to be joined by a sit-in special co-host momentarily. So,
you know, I don't even know really what to say. I think the city's in a pretty precarious spot right now. Financially, obviously. They seem to dislike the auditor. Now there's the whole controversy with the service director there. I think it's certainly an interesting time for the Marion government.
Well, again, I think we've just covered the auditor a lot, and not that we shouldn't be covering the auditor, but we know what's the problem is there. Or at least we think we know what the problem is. This whole thing with the city and the money that's being spent there, what do you make of that?
Well, I mean, they might want to take a deeper look at that. I would say. I don't know. I'm not sure how. Those decals. I mean, I was doing the math. Those decals, I mean, those are expensive.
Yeah. A little bit of dough.
And then, I mean, like, it. I mean, I don't even know what to say, honestly. It's rough.
Well, not really even sure at this point what line item they came from. So, you know, it's all very strange, and it is what it is at this particular point. But I imagine questions will be asked at the next city council meeting, which, by the way, is not on a Monday because of the eclipse. It will be on April the 9th. So get ready for that. And as I said, joining us this morning, a person who had his own show on the station for a few years, Mike Wilson. Mike, good to see you. It's been a while. I think Christmas time last time you were in.
I think you're right.
I think there was a Christmas tree in some of those pictures that day when Mary Ellen was here.
Yes, I do believe it. You're right on that, Scott.
So what is new with you, Mike?
Oh, you mentioned dough here a minute ago. You should have seen the whole bunch of dough right behind my place this morning. There were like 10, some little ones, some big ones.
Oh, the deer.
Yeah, doe.
Yeah, the doe, a deer.
Female deer, yeah.
I remember the song.
There might have been
some
males in there, too.
Yes,
I don't know.
There were, so it was a nice, brisk spring morning here in Ohio.
It's beautiful out there.
Yeah, a little brisk, but it's March. Does Easter have any particular significance to you? You know, everybody I've talked to said Easter came early. I've looked at Easter candy and things in the stores. Nobody has really bought it. Maybe they're going to come in this weekend in a rush, but that's not normally the case. Usually it's pretty steady.
Yeah, most of the bunnies have their ears eaten off by now.
Yeah, it's very strange. I was even talking to one of the managers yesterday, and I said, you know, we've got an awful lot of Easter stuff left here. And they said, we're going to have a lot of markdowns on Monday.
I bet you will.
But it's odd. I mean, what is going on this year? People forget?
It's because of the earliness, I think, yeah.
What do you think, Matt?
I mean, I think that, I don't know, I'm not sure. I think the time's been flying, and I think that maybe people just don't realize that it's that time of the year already.
It is. But the last few years, it's come in April. And at some points, it's even come in late April, middle of April. So this is really early. And a lot of people also have spring break. I mean, I believe most of the county schools are on spring break this week. So, you know, a lot of people went away.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, so, I mean, they went away. They went away, so this, you know, they're not home getting ready for Easter as right. Normally they would be.
Right. Did you get me an Easter basket?
I didn't get it. I wouldn't even have. I have a whole tin, this is how bad it is, of the fake Easter eggs that I normally bring in and we just set out for decoration. And obviously that's not happening this year because today is the last day before Easter.
Well, I know where you live.
Oh, you want to come over and see the eggs?
Yes, I want to come over and
see. You want to come over and see the eggs? Remind me and I'll bring the eggs in tonight and we can just throw eggs on the table and that'll be a fun thing for the Friday night show tonight, 8:15 to 10. You know, we're going to talk about the city with Pastor Craig when he comes in at noon because I know he keeps an eye on what's going on with the city, so we're just going to save that for that time. But again, if anybody has a question about what Jason Schauber said this morning, 740-383-9944. Now on to an Easter story. PETA is not a fan of the White House rolling chicken eggs during its annual Easter egg roll, which will be Monday. That's why the animal rights nonprofit is now recommending First Lady Jill Biden replace the cholesterol bombs, that's their quote, with potatoes. PETA's argument against using eggs is that potatoes are cheaper and healthier than eggs and leave birds in peace, the nonprofit said in a recent news release. Children love animals and would be sad to learn that eggs are used for fun and games at the White House. That those eggs come from tormented hens whose lives are spent in cages and afford them less space than a standard sheet of typing paper, PETA President Ingrid Newkirk said in the release. Easter should be a time of renewal and joy for all sentient beings, and that means hens too.
Okay, PETA.
There you go.
PETA, people eating tasty animals.
Oh, Mike,
that's
Mike,
what it means
Mike,
for me.
Mike. Now, by the way, I did have a representative of PETA on Monday morning to discuss this. If you want to go back and listen to the interview, it's on the Facebook page. It's also on the website. And she was on Monday morning. I think it says PETA representative, but just go back to Monday. And the guest that I had, I believe her name was Courtney. Now, here's what I will tell you about that interview. Here's where I think the problem comes. PETA, people don't understand. They are very earnest and truthful in what they say. I think people discount what they say because they just don't like what they say. But they're as earnest in their belief as we might be in our beliefs of things. And I think that's where the conflict happens. I mean, I think she really believes this. And you know what? Factually, I think she is right on a lot of this. Now, I think where the problem came was suggesting the potato thing. I think that's what made it seem jokey. Because as far as the way hens are treated, I don't think they would put this in a news release if not true.
I think you should interview some hens and see what their take is on this.
Well, but see, here's the thing, Mike, and this is what's fascinating. I'm going to bring Matt in on this, too. But Easter, okay. Easter is, by all accounts, a holy holiday. But what does Easter mean to the stores and kids at Easter Bunny?
Sure.
No connection to anything holy at all. And then to take it one step further, if we're going to get into the egg thing, Easter bunnies in general, don't lay eggs. So why are eggs associated with the Easter Bunny? That makes about as much sense as potatoes.
Wow, I'm speechless.
I mean, isn't it true?
You got a point there.
So when the whole idea of Easter Bunny and eggs was being produced...
Was being hatched?
I guess.
Okay.
We just see it as tradition now. But that probably was greeted with the same what as we're looking at potatoes. What do you think, Matt?
You know, I think it would have been in PETA's interest to just not suggest an alternative here.
I think that's where they got in trouble. The potato, I think, was the trouble.
I think they probably should have just given their reasons as to why they don't like it and then just went along their way. Because I think when you start suggesting potatoes, people get a little, people think you start sounding a little crazy.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that was the crux in this story. I think had they said get rid of the eggs, okay. But I think the potato alternative made it funny. But then I started to think, well, I wonder if they did that for publicity's purpose. Because they knew people would pick up on that, but that would also get their other message, which was how hens are treated, which was that they don't want the White House using eggs. It got that part of the story out, too.
I mean, I don't think that's a good model. I mean, you might become. I mean, it might be like you said. I mean, it does get you, I guess, more recognized with more people. But at the same time, the people who read the article are just going to think you sound goofy. So in theory, you're just turning people against your message. Like, you have a good message in there in terms of that the hens are, you know, tormented for their eggs. But at the same time, you just ended with the curveball of used potatoes. And I think that people will probably just, I think at the end of the day, people will probably just be like, what is PETA even doing? And it'll turn people more so against PETA than even looking into more of their messages.
You know, I just thought of an alternative to the eggs rather than potatoes. Why not use the Cadbury eggs? They would roll just as well as a regular egg.
And again, that's what I'm saying. I don't think PETA would have a problem with that. Now, I did suggest the fake plastic eggs, and they said the problem they would have with those are they're not biodegradable.
That was my exact same response. I heard that, and I was like, oh, yeah, okay.
Okay.
Well, they aren't. I mean, I don't know.
That's true.
They got you there.
I was I wasn't being rude looking at my phone.
I thought you were being rude, though. I mean, that's what I felt.
Well.
I felt rude.
That was part of it.
But right here on Good Friday, I thought you were being rude.
I looked up Easter egg history.
How did we get there?
Okay. How did we get there? Easter egg history. That's what I'm going to talk about.
That's it. No, is there more to this?
Yes. Why do we have Easter eggs at Easter? You might have asked yourself that question before. After all, the Easter story as told in the Bible doesn't involve any eggs. So what is the meaning behind Easter eggs? The tradition of making and giving decorated eggs didn't begin with Easter. In fact, the practice of decorating eggs dates back nearly 60,000 years to the pre-dynastic Egyptians. The ancient Egyptians would decorate ostrich eggs in gold and silver as a way of honoring their loved ones who were buried with these intricate gifts. As a long-standing symbol of life and death, the egg pops up regularly throughout history in most civilizations. Now, nearly 2,000 years later, Easter and the Easter egg have become a prominent part of our yearly festivities. You can find out more about why we have Easter eggs at Easter below. Well, I could.
Okay, well, yeah, we could have left that out. But the problem is that, okay, Oscar, again, where does the bunny come in?
I don't know.
Why not an ostrich? Easter ostrich.
I think we just slapped the bunny in there to give it a more friendly feel. Like kids like bunnies. Bunnies look cute. Therefore, you make it the Easter bunny, and it's more geared toward kids.
Right, but I guess the question is that any more ridiculous on the whole, except the fact that we're stuck with that for many years now?
Now you're not arguing against the eggs. You're arguing against the Easter bunny. In which case, because now we have a legitimate reason for the eggs. It's so we can, support.
I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying that clearly we as Americans cling to tradition like people cling to rowboats on the Titanic. Because a lot of our traditions make zero sense when you actually dissect them down. We just went through this with Groundhog Day and PETA. Really, on the whole, if you took PETA's objections out and said, listen, we take an animal that should be in hibernation that time of year and we bring it out and put it in front of lights and cameras and it tells us the weather? I mean, people would look at that and say, what? But because we do it, don't mess with it. Easter bunny. Bunnies don't lay eggs. They certainly don't lay colored eggs. Oh, people would go, what? Why is that a thing? But because it's been there years and years and years.
I think it's less about the bunny, more about the eggs.
Now, what do you mean?
I mean, I think that, but like I said, I think they just added the Easter bunny in there for the fact that kids like bunnies, therefore kids are going to be more likely to
yeah, but the Easter bunny for non-holy families has become the symbol of Easter.
Why? Because people go to malls and take pictures with the Easter. Their kids want a picture with the Easter.
But I'm saying, how did we get there? There are other nice-looking animals.
Glad you asked that.
Do you have the answer?
Google's awesome.
Read below?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go.
See, that's one of the first rules in broadcasting. Read the copy ahead of time.
Proof the copy.
Yeah, and I didn't do that. As Christians probably already know, the Bible makes no mention of a mythical hare who delivers eggs to children on the day of Jesus Christ's resurrection. So why exactly has a rabbit become a prominent part of one of Christianity's most important celebrations of rebirth and renewal? One theory, according to Time, is that the symbol of the rabbit stems from the ancient pagan tradition on which many of our Easter traditions are based, the festival of Eostre, which honored the goddess of fertility and spring. The goddess's animal symbol was a rabbit. Which have long traditionally stood for fertility due to the high reproduction rates. As for how the character of the Easter Bunny made its way to America, History.com reports that it was first introduced in the 1700s by German immigrants to Pennsylvania, who reportedly brought over their tradition of an egg-laying hare named Osterhaus, or Osterhaus, from the old country. Legend has it the rabbit would lay colorful eggs as gifts to children who were good. So kids would make nests in which the bunny could leave his eggs, and even sometimes set out carrots in case the hare got hungry. Remind you of any other holiday traditions? Eventually, the custom spread across America until it was a widespread Easter tradition. Over time, the fabled bunny's delivery expanded from just eggs to include other treats such as chocolate and toys. Easter baskets have only gotten more and more elaborate over the years, as one trip to the store this year will tell you.
So a pagan tradition.
Yes.
Okay.
Same as some of our Christian Christmas traditions.
Right. So just basically nonsense, I guess, at this point.
Yeah.
No real reason behind it.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Well, I mean, I'm not a pagan, but I mean, I'd assume the pagans have some reason behind it.
Well, they made up a phony bunny that was laying colored eggs, is what I heard.
A male bunny.
A male bunny. Now, by the way, Mary, who's out there listening, thanks, Mary, says, my mom was born in 1918. This is what she used in her Easter egg. Beautiful glass Easter eggs. So, there you go. I mean, so it has always been these little biodegradable. We just became cheap in the country, I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, plastic is, you know, cheap and it's easy to mass produce, so we went with plastic.
So isn't this really a retail thing? Because...
Well, isn't everything a retail thing?
No, I don't think the actual meaning of Easter and people going to church on Sunday and today is a retail thing.
I mean, they're certainly retelling a story.
But the retail stores do depend on Christmas and Easter.
Right.
And Halloween.
Right.
And what's that one with the hearts? Valentine's Day.
the one with the hearts. Yeah. Now, what about the one with the shamrocks?
That too,
St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
Yeah. But my question is, okay, yes, potatoes, it all sounds ridiculous, but isn't the whole thing on its face ridiculous? Easter, people will get up on Sunday morning, and even people who get up and go to church and wear the bonnets and have very nice church dinners that day, a lot of those kids will wake up to Easter bunny eggs being hidden.
I did when I was growing up.
Right, and they will wake up to Easter baskets filled with chocolate. Why?
You mean the Easter bunny isn't real?
No, I think he is. I think he is.
And he's real.
Yeah.
He's out there.
But tradition. What is it about America and tradition that we cannot stand?
Well, it's not even America. Apparently, it's just the Germans. I mean, they took it. Yeah, they have Puxatony Phil, and they have the Easter Bunny.
Right. But why?
Both from Pennsylvania, too.
But I don't think they cling to these traditions like we do. I think they just...
Well, I think if you went to Pennsylvania and asked them how they feel about rolling potatoes instead of using Easter eggs, they'd probably be... Just as, I mean, I don't know. I was gonna say upset, but I don't think anybody's really upset. Just
I'm not saying that we should roll potatoes.
Confused as everybody else.
I'm not saying that we should roll potatoes. All I'm saying is why are we so steeped in our traditions that have no real logic behind them?
Well, I think that traditions in general usually have no real logic behind.
No, that's not true at all. We celebrate birthdays. That's tradition. We celebrate President's Day. That is based in fact.
I mean,
we celebrate Martin Luther King Day based in fact. Fourth of July based in fact.
What are you truly celebrating on your birthday other than the fact that you waited a year? You waited a full year from the day you were born.
We're talking about fact versus fiction. That was the day you were born, I assume.
No, it wasn't. You weren't born. You were born on that day 20 years ago.
Right. So the 10th anniversary, the 12th anniversary, the 40th anniversary, that's what you're celebrating.
Well, I guess we're celebrating like the 647,000 year of Easter.
But there was no Easter bunny. There was no Easter colored Easter eggs. We certainly don't hide. They weren't hidden. We don't put chocolate in them. Well, what is that?
I think we're the melting pot. There are people here from all over the world, and they bring their traditions with them, and they wanted to cling to traditions from their homeland, and maybe that's how they became big, you know? Other people saw, well, these people are doing this. It's really cool.
That was fun.
Yeah. So let's go roll legs.
Right, and I'm not saying stop doing it. I'm just saying, why, when anybody suggests an alternative to any tradition, in the traditions that really are not based in any fact at all, do we get so upset?
Well, I mean, I would say that there are things that, like, I mean, like Christmas. We've been getting gifts for people on Christmas forever now, but, like, I mean...
Well, that's another one, but...
It used to not be a thing like that.
No, but that's another one. I would steep that in here.
You want to stop getting Christmas gifts?
No, I'm not saying I personally do. I'm just saying, why are Americans so protective of these things that make about as much sense? Because we certainly are very protective. We attack PETA.
Well,
attack them.
PETA attacks everybody else. So I think PETA just kind of asks for
it. I don't see the attack. What's the attack? They're suggesting. They can't go to the White House and ban the Easter eggs.
Well, I mean... The White House hasn't come out and attacked PETA. We're just talking about it.
Well, what's the attack, though? They're just saying we don't want hens treated badly, so we're suggesting that you do this. I don't know that they've picketed or protested.
And I don't have a problem with that. I don't think we should mistreat any animals. I think we should treat them all with respect. Part of my problem is that a lot of these PETA people put animals over human beings, and I don't think that's the way it's supposed to be. Yes, we do need to respect the animals. We're here to take care of them. That's part of our reason for being here. You know, my problem is they go overboard.
The potato.
Yeah.
Was that the part where they went overboard?
Well, what about that poor potato? Doesn't it have feelings?
No.
Yes.
No, it's a vegetable.
Well, I mean...
Or a fruit.
Well, I mean, you can look it up to fact check me if you want, but you know the smell of fresh cut grass? That smell is actually the leaves, like, that smell is them releasing a chemical that literally is like us feeling pain. Like, us screaming, that's basically them screaming. Leafy pain smells good, doesn't it?
Have you been watching TikTok?
No. I do, you know, look it up.
I don't think that's reality.
I'll look it up for you right now.
If that is reality, I doubt anybody really cares that the grass is feeling pain.
Well, how would PETA feel if I told them that I didn't care that the chickens were feeling pain?
Well, the PETA stands for the People of the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I don't know that grass is an animal. I think you missed the point there. We can't save the world. If you want to start a group, yeah, People for the Ethical Treatment of Grass, okay, go ahead.
I'm going to go for it.
But what would that be? Pigged? Put a G on the end of that. No, but Mike, we're not getting an answer here. Why do we cling to tradition? All I'm hearing is people going back and attacking PETA. I'm not asking why we need to attack PETA. I'm saying, why do we cling to these traditions that, on the whole, make no sense? If they were introduced in 2024, he said, hey, on Easter, we're going to get a bunny that doesn't lay eggs, colored eggs, and we're going to hide them, and we're going to give you candy for that. And on Groundhog Day, an animal that's supposed to be in hibernation that time of year, we're going to pull it out of a hole and it's going to tell you the weather. Okay. Well, I mean, if you said that, people would say, "What? They'd commit you to a mental hospital."
Let me ask you this. Do you have any traditions that you hold on to?
Personal? I don't know. What would be, give me an example. Like, what would be one, I'm trying to think of what that would be.
I don't know.
Like
I,
eating birthday cake, but I don't think that's mine.
Okay. Well, I mean,
do you celebrate? I mean, like, I don't know. I don't want to say do you celebrate your birthday every year, but I mean, I guess that would be a tradition. There are a lot of people who don't.
Yeah, but people do that. Oh, but they do. People say happy birthday. People sing the same old lame song, and you know, if people know, they try to get you a little cake or something. That's everybody.
Okay, you're not telling us any of your traditions.
Well, I was just trying to think. What would a personal tradition be?
Like on Christmas every year, my family does a gift exchange.
But people do that.
Well, yeah, but
that's not
but,
personal.
I mean, but like, it's personal. I mean, like, not everybody does it.
Most people.
So what I was trying to get at was, once you told me some of your traditions, I was going to ask you, why do you stick to those traditions?
I don't think they're based in fiction, though. Like, I guess maybe a Christmas Eve party with not necessarily just my family. Okay. But that's not fiction. That's fact. So telling that to somebody, I don't think is going to... Now, if I said, on Christmas Eve, I have a bunny hopping around laying colored eggs, you might say, oh, well, that's... Wow, I'll make it to that party. Or I'm gonna pull out a polar bear and it's going to tell you the weather for the next 6 months. Now, that's different than having a little party.
You're a hard one to interview. You know that?
I'm just saying, but in that... God bless them for Easter.
Moving right along.
Well, I'll tell you, and listen, and I'm going to tell you this right up front. This is not a Trump story. This is an Easter story, so just take it at that. This is not political, in my opinion. But,
oh, I love it.
Well, it's, no, this is true. This is 100% true. So here we go. From the Associated Press. Former President Donald Trump is now selling Bibles as he runs to return to the White House.
Selling Bibles?
Yes, selling Bibles. Okay. Now get ready. Hold on, Mike. We got more to this story. Trump, who became the presumptive Republican nominee earlier this month, released a video on his Truth Social platform on Tuesday urging his supporters to buy the God Bless the USA Bible, which is inspired by country singer Lee Greenwood's patriotic ballad. Trump takes the stage to the song at each of his rallies and has appeared with Greenwood at many events. This is a quote. Happy Holy Week. Let's make America pray again as we lead into Good Friday and Easter. I encourage you to get a copy of the God Bless the USA Bible, Trump wrote, directing his supporters to a website selling the book for $59.99. Now, gets better. Here's another quote. All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many. It's my favorite book, Trump said in the video posted on Truth Social. Another quote, I'm proud to endorse and encourage you to get this Bible. We must make America pray again. Billing itself as the only Bible endorsed by President Trump, the New Ventures website calls it easy to read with large print and slim design that invites you to explore God's Word anywhere, anytime. Besides a King James Version translation, it includes copies of the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Pledge of Allegiance, as well as a handwritten chorus of the famous Greenwood song. Okay. Unpack that, Mike. It's an Easter story because it's get your Bible for Holy Week. And even President Trump has said this is not about a campaign. This is about Easter.
Did you see the part where did you say the part where it says that this is the only Bible endorsed by Trump?
Yeah, it's a quote. The only Bible endorsed by President Trump.
Okay. And there were people that will take that to heart and think that's... Well, anyhow, yes. Does he think he's King James or what?
Well, here's... Listen. This is not politics, okay? But Trump said it wasn't politics, so I'm going to take him at his word.
Okay.
No, listen. No. This, to me, is about the Bible and Easter because I really am just a little confused. I've never heard of anybody endorsing the Bible. And that's why this is an interesting story to me.
Well, in 1611, King James endorsed the printing of that Bible, but yeah, it's is he putting himself on a different plane than the rest of us, or what?
I just don't know.
He has supporters that are so strong that they're going to go out and buy that and think, oh, this
and
is
that's
it.
Their right.
I think that's their right. Sure. I think that despite him saying that there is no politics in this, I think it's just a way for him to try to make himself look like a religious man.
Okay, but that's an opinion.
That's an opinion.
You know what? I'll take him at his word.
The same thing went through my head, so.
Yeah, but now wait a second. The man said, hold on.
He said, hold on.
The man said, all Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many. It's my favorite book.
I feel like he should have said something like, it's an important book, or something like that. I'm just saying, it's my favorite book. Just sounds disingenuous. I mean, I guess he wrote it, so, I mean, I'd have to... You hear it from him, but it just sounds disingenuous to say, yes, this is my favorite book.
Yeah, well, I don't know that we can comment much on that.
Well, you know what?
Without sounding political.
I'll tell you something, and here's the problem. That is a story by any stretch of the imagination. But because it's a presidential candidate, people will take this as a political story. I guarantee you, had Joe Biden done this, we'd be doing the same story.
Oh, I agree.
Guarantee.
Oh, yes, yes.
So if you're trying to lay this at political bias or a political story, you're nuts. Because had Biden done this, had Hillary Clinton done this, had Obama done this, had Mitt Romney done this, this would be a story guaranteed.
All right.
Yep.
So don't tell me this is a
political... It goes both ways. I'm not going to argue with that, Scott.
No, but don't... I will hear from people who will say this is a political story trying to run down a political candidate. I just have never heard this in... I've never heard of anybody selling Bibles.
I don't think it runs anybody down. There's no...
No, people will say it. We're making fun.
It doesn't bash on Biden, nor does it bash on Trump. I mean, if anything, it's an ad for Trump.
It is an ad for Trump, but people...
I think the timing is such that it looks like it's a political ploy. Whether it is or not, we can't say.
Yes, that's a good way
to... No, and listen... I'm not even getting into that, political ploy or not. Maybe, maybe not. All I'm saying is that a problem for any human being who's got FaceTime to endorse the Bible and sell it at profit?
Not a bad thing.
No, but I'm saying, let's say
you go to
Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift said, this is the Taylor Swift Bible, the only Bible I'm going to endorse. Aren't we going on a slippery slope here?
But he didn't say it's a Donald Trump Bible, okay?
No.
In his defense.
No.
So, you know.
And I've interviewed Lee Greenwood.
Have you?
I have. I don't know if that's relevant to the story, so I'd say it.
Well, I mean, it's called the God Bless the USA Bible.
Right, so it's... there you go.
Who haven't you interviewed? I mean,
I know. The list is long.
And they're dying off.
They're dying off, which really makes it more historic. Because you can't get them. So there you go.
There will never be another interview.
That's right. There'll never be another interview with them.
All I had was Misty Rose. So,
Misty Rose. Oh, that's right. Rose. Yeah. From Hee Haw.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
I do too.
But, listen, take Trump out of it. Should anybody endorse a Bible and try to sell it during Easter week?
Okay, let's say that was Billy Graham trying to sell it.
Different reverend.
Who? Okay.
Any
clergy?
I
think if the Pope endorsed a Bible, nobody'd bat an eye at it. But I'm just saying...
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think if the Pope endorsed a Bible and then said he was selling those Bibles for... Oh, I think if the Pope came out and said that he endorsed this specific Bible and charged $60 for that specific Bible, then that would be...
But I'm talking about an entertainment or a political or a sports figure. Would that be a problem? Anybody in the religious world, I really don't think people bat an eye at it. I mean, that's their business.
If they did it...
And by the way, their business, I'm not talking about religion being a business. I'm saying it's their business to endorse a Bible.
We understood what you were saying.
Are you sure? Yeah. No, someone say, oh, you're saying religion's a business.
No. I understood what you were
saying.
Okay,
thank God. You never know.
I don't hope so.
Go ahead, caller.
Well, it is just the King James version of the Bible, right?
But it comes with a whole lot of other stuff.
Well, yeah, so his endorsement, I guess, is of the King James version of the Bible, the U.S. Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and that song, right?
Right, I think you can endorse the King James version of the Bible, that's fine. I don't think anybody would have had a problem with that, and I don't think that would have been a story. I think the problem is my company's making these Bibles for $60, and this is the one you want to get because I'm endorsing it. Herein lies the problem.
He needs to contract with Gideon's to have them put in every hotel, if they still do that. They probably don't do that anymore.
They do that, yes.
Right, but again... Any problem with this?
With me?
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't do it. You know?
Because?
Well, there are certain things that are sacred. Not to say that, you know, if he would have edited it, like let's say Schofield did, you know, there's been many other translations and revisions of the Bible. If he would have done, like, this is the Trump edition of the Bible, and he would have, like, revised it, the language of it, you know, translation, then yes, that would have been completely wrong on every front.
Well, I guess, as Mike said, is this not reek of politics? Or is this really, I just want to get you the Bible, and this is the one I like?
Yeah, no, it's politics. I mean, everything's politics, especially when you're at that level.
But now tell me, honestly, if Joe Biden did the same thing, do you think we wouldn't be covering it as well?
Oh, no, you'd be covering it.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but people who say that this is a... I think it's just... people feel very strongly about President Trump, certainly in Marion. We can see the vote count. And anything that would... And I don't think we've portrayed this in a negative light. I think I'm saying, what do you think?
Right. No, yeah. I'm not saying it's critical.
No, but I think people will. And so my thing is, this is a story, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a story, for sure.
So, but I mean, if Taylor Swift, I mean, because that's where we are here. If Taylor Swift, if Nancy Pelosi, if Hillary Clinton...
If they endorsed the Satanic Bible, would we be talking about it? Yes, we would be.
Well, I mean, but I don't know. I never have, and maybe they have, but I've never heard anybody endorse the Bible. That's just, to me, that's, I mean, because I know people endorse books, but that's to sell the book. And I don't think the Bible needs help selling at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that it does. I guess people that would agree with it would say that they're happy that, you know, somebody is actually... supporting Christianity and its representation through the Bible, as well as like our country's, you know, foundational documents. I think that would be refreshing to some people because you don't have anybody that, you know, really does stand up for that. And critics would say that, you know, it's a holy book that is thousands of years old.
But is that what he's doing here? I guess that's the question. Is he standing up for the Bible, or is he trying to sell the Bible?
Well, he's obviously trying to sell the Bible if he's charging $60 a pop for it.
Well, because I don't really read in this story where he's saying, or in the video, where he's saying, you know, the Bible's correct and people just need to pick up their Bible and read more Bible. This is my Bible, and $60, and here's where you get it.
How much is he making per Bible, you think?
You know, I bet quite a bit, because I bet to manufacture the Bible, which is public domain, is probably not a whole lot of money. No copyright there.
It'd be a lot of pages to print, though. Is it hardbound, or is it paperback?
I imagine it's hardbound.
Well, I mean, that'd be expensive just to,
I mean,
to publish that.
Well, the more you print, the cheaper it is, and I would guess he's going to sell this very well, because... people tend to buy their favorite political candidate's stuff.
Didn't he come out with his own shoes?
About a month ago. I don't think that went very well.
Are they like $300?
I did not know this.
So in both cases, we're talking about Bibles and we're talking about shoes. So in both cases, souls are involved.
That's right.
And that's right. Put them together there.
Oh, I remember, Trump steaks. Remember those?
Yeah. But you know what? He wasn't running for president then, and he's a businessman, and I'll buy that. But I just don't, I guess I've never heard anybody say this is the official Bible.
Well, it might not be a bad thing that somebody in a well-known position like that is endorsing the Bible. Maybe that's a good thing. And we don't know if he's making any profit off of it or not, and we really can't make the judgment on his reason for doing this, you know?
No, we can't.
We don't know exactly what's going through his head.
We don't. But I guess what I'm saying is, should any political person, should any entertainment person, should any sports person be the person to endorse the Bible? I think they all... Listen, I've said this before. Would we ever elect an atheist president? Fat chance. They all go to church ceremonies on Sunday. They all send out thoughts and prayers when something bad happens. They all do that. This is just... They're not selling that, though. That's the difference.
Yeah, right. I mean, if it was an endorsement of a version of the... I mean, like I said, it's been revised and translated many times, especially over the last, several hundred years. So if you were just endorsing one to say this is theologically, what I believe in, then that's one thing. Now, if you're profiting off of it, that's the question, whether or not that is, morally right, I guess.
Do you think this is a turnoff for people? I mean, would it be a turnoff for somebody who liked this person, Trump?
Who likes Trump?
Yeah.
I would say Trump's base is pretty solidified, and I would say that most are going to be evangelicals or other, Christians, conservatives, people who believe. So I don't know that it would be a turnoff for a lot of them.
By the way, just because I hope you listened to the first hour with Jason this morning.
I did.
What'd you make of all that?
Well, there's a lot. There's a mess. There's a mess, Scott.
More than just the auditor at this point.
More than just the auditor. And hopefully it gets cleaned up. That's all I can say. And I listened. I was able to listen to your interview with Mr. Klein yesterday. And I stand by that. That man needs to run for mayor.
Terry Klein for mayor, you're saying?
I'm saying that, yeah.
Because
he speaks out for reason and common sense, and it's not just one-sided. It's looking at the entire system and saying that there needs to be, fundamental change and improvement. And that's the type of perspective that everybody needs to have, and otherwise you're just going to go along and things are going to continue to get worse unless people speak up, speak out, and take action.
So I guess in the end result here of this whole, how do you feel about this Mr. Bodine?
Well, it sounds like that needs to be investigated, and it doesn't sound like it passes the smell test. Do you think?
I think it's very interesting. I don't know what the rules. I don't know. It's very, very peculiar, I guess, because that his company designed the logo, and they're not trying to hide that all on the invoice there. As Jason read the conflict of interest, that doesn't sound very good.
No, but will anything happen?
Oh, no. The answer to that is no, because of the makeup of city council right now.
Well, yeah. And does he live in the city?
Mr. Bodine?
Yeah.
I don't believe so.
Yeah. And then they just hired that budget and finance, director. So I told you yesterday that she lives down in Franklin County. Where does Collins live? Because didn't he live out on Summerlot Hoffman or something?
I know his address is listed. I mean, I'm sure you can find it easy.
So he moved from Pleasant Township into Marion right before the election?
I don't know about that. I don't know how long he'd lived in Marion, but I know because I was at city council meetings when he'd get up and he'd state his address.
Okay.
But I if he is ill, I hope speedy recovery. But apparently you're supposed to alert city council of that, and the president of city council is supposed to take over in your absence, and this might not have been done.
So he's not on a cruise?
I know, not on a cruise. We don't know that he's sick, but that was just the scuttlebutt.
Okay, that's why I thought he might have been on a cruise. That's why you should have put a message in a bottle that said... Mayor, please come back to me.
Well, it's interesting because again, I said it for 9 months leading up to the election last year. Neither one of these mayoral candidates have ever worked in legislative government, and this is the first time that's happened in over 50 years, and this could be really, really bad because of the time we're going through with the auditor and just the city in general. Is this the right time to bring somebody in with no institutional knowledge? And here you go.
And we didn't really have an alternative either way.
No, but, and that's curious in and of itself, is I've never, I mean, we, when Mayor Schertzer was mayor, city council people ran against him. Dr. Gilsdorf was a sitting city council person. Kevin Norris was a sitting city council person. Phil Reed was the sitting city council president. I mean, what happened to city council people all of a sudden when there was a vacancy?
Well, they don't reach out to people. You know, as we've talked about, and as, you know, Terry mentioned, you know, there needs to be that outreach. And Mayor Schertzer said the same thing, you know. And they don't do it. And when you go, I know we've had this conversation, but when you go to these functions, these social functions is what I would characterize them, you know, it's the same group of people, and they don't try to embrace new people. You've agreed with that, right?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the boards are made up of the same people, and at the social functions, you do tend to see a lot of the same people.
Yeah, it's a closed group. As George Carlin said, it's a big club, and you ain't in it.
Well, so how do we fix it with a minute left in this hour?
Just raise hell. Raise hell on Scott Spears' show.
Well, and also, at some point, don't you think somebody should go to city council and ask the questions? I mean, it is an open forum.
Oh, 100%. And hopefully, with, you know, getting the conversation out there, you know, people will be inspired and motivated to actually take action.
Will hope. Thanks for being out there.
All right, thanks.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. About a minute left in this hour, and then we're going to come back and talk some more with Mike and Matt. Well, we did two Easter stories, I think. The Trump God Bless the USA Bible, and PETA not wanting Easter eggs anymore. They want the White... Oh, that's political, too, I guess, because they want the White House to roll potatoes down the hill instead of Easter eggs.
Ingrid Newkirk for president.
Ingrid, well, yeah, there. Why not her?
Might as well.
You know? It's showbiz, isn't it? Is it all showbiz in the end?
For the most part, I mean, it seems that way, doesn't it?
Seems like we've gotten there. All right, well, we're coming back with Mike and Matt right after this.
You're listening to The Place for the Best Guests and Talk. From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll ask, and you can or